The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe it, can you say an amen?
Amen.
Can I greet somebody again on your left, your right? Tell the person, God bless you. You are welcome this morning. You are welcome this morning. You are welcome in Jesus' name. All right, the Lord is good. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 1. And declare the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ from there. We have to be reminded of this once in a while about what Christianity is. No, ever forget it, please. I say it once in a while because people sometimes forget. So I have a responsibility to remind us once in a while of what Christianity is. It's not about good works. Fundamentally, I'm not saying we don't do good works, so please don't get me wrong. People sometimes misquote these things. I didn't say we don't do good works. I just said that is not the first thing about Christianity. So you are not a Christian because you are a nice guy. I hope I get my point. You are not a Christian because you don't snatch people's wives. You're not a Christian because you are generous. That's not what makes you a Christian. All right? What makes you a Christian is that you believe in somebody. Do you get it? It's attachment, adherence to a person. The following of somebody is what makes you a Christian. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not a Christian because you go to church on Sundays and you have a title. That is not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget it. All these other things are added to that. So disciples of Christ, they do good works. Disciples of Christ, they go to church. Some of them have titles, deacon, elder, pastor, evangelist. Sometimes they do. Disciples of Christ share their money. They are nice to people. But it's not the other way around. Like somebody said, just because you sleep in a garage, it doesn't mean you're a car. Even though cars hang in the Dechukwu's garage, they don't go home sometimes. Do you get? He said, just because you're inside what they call a coop, chicken cage, doesn't make you a fowl. He said, in fact, you may be confused. I've seen human beings who sleep inside dog cage. They say they're, yes. Yeah. They put a collar around their neck. You know, this confuse people. You may have a dog spirit, you're not a dog. So no matter how you appear like a Christian, you are not until you have made a personal commitment to following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is shown in your life of discipleship, as in you are constantly learning to be like Him. A Christian has one primary goal in life. Not to succeed materially. Not to be healed. That's not it. Not to have the fullness of enjoyment of life. His primary goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. That's it. And everything he or she goes through, he sees, she sees as part of that conformation process. That's why James said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Because in the midst of the trials, Christ is being formed in you. There are challenges. Christ is being formed in you. You can get the gold out of anything. Do you get my point? Yeah. Everything has gold, has something in it. For us, it is what? The image of Christ. Do you understand? So if I have trials, I get home, my car is gone. My house is gone. They burnt my certificate. You follow my point? I can sit down there. What kind of country is it that you can't even call police and be there in 3 minutes? And neighbors saw them robbing this house. Where is the fire service when this house was burning? Or you can stay there, look at the loss, look at everything, and say, Christ must be glorified, must be manifested in me. And you look at that adversity. What you will get out of it is far more. Of course, it's of eternal value, so it's not to be compared with a temporal thing. So that's, I'm just reminding us again of what Christianity is. And that's why we're taking this declaration again this morning. We go there once in a while. Colossians chapter 1. I've read this Bible a bit. I think that I find to be the number one portion that describes the person of Jesus Christ. So let's read it together from verse 12. From verse 12, we are in the middle of a sentence, but pardon us like that, so that we can be brief what we are reading. We are reading from verse 12 all the way to verse 20. Now read like you are blessed. Let me sample your voice again. Chibuzi, are you blessed? That amen didn't sound like thunder.
Amen.
The Lord accepts it, amen. All right, the Lord's good. So let's start from verse 12. 1, 2, let's go. Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light? For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions, or rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Hallelujah. So when you hear him, all through here, he was talking about the Son, and that is Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you. We declare loudly for all to hear that we believe in you. We are your disciples. We declare loudly for all to hear that our lives have been given to you and we are committed to you eternally. Thank you for giving yourself up for us and for reconciling us to the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for receiving us in Christ. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the infusion of life that we get every time we gather like this. Lord, we open our hearts again today to receive insight, to receive understanding, to receive a flow of the Spirit, to receive healing, to receive direction, to receive soundness, to receive the life of God manifested in us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Because we believe these things, we declare as follows. And the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. All right. Let's open our Bibles. I just want to read a few portions. Let's start from Jeremiah chapter 29. We began this year, and today I want to conclude that which we started with. Let's just quickly open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. This will be a fitting conclusion for it if it works out the way I plan. Now, this was written by, of course, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was given the word of the Lord. And this was when the people of Judah had been taken into captivity in Babylon. And they had told them that when you get there, settle down, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. If the city prospers, you will have prosperity. If it's at peace, you'll be at peace. So you have, we have a responsibility. Is that okay? To pray for any city, any nation that God has kept us. Sometimes we say, like in the, even if everything, there's darkness all around, we walk in light. That is theoretically true, but practically not godly. God doesn't like it like that. What he likes is that when you have light, your light what? Will shine. What he wants is when you have light, people will come into your light. And they will come, the Gentiles, the brightness of your rising. You shouldn't take pride in that. You are able to, in isolation, be blessed when everybody else is in darkness. When I say theoretically true, what I mean is it's possible. God can do it. It's part of his plan to bless you no matter what. However, that shouldn't satisfy you. You shouldn't be happy to be in a village where your house is very big, huge, and all the villagers live in huts. That's not godly. If you're that rich, you should invest the money first in their school. You should invest the money first in their town hall and build a small house for yourself. You should invest the money first in building market stalls for them. You should invest the money first in giving them good water. Don't look like an idol. Are you getting my point? Yeah. It's part of idolatry. A huge shrine, a huge temple to a God that's not doing much for the people around. That's not Christianity at all. Christianity, God would rather, yes, I know you have the money. You can build that massive mansion in that your village and everybody will be coming to do babake. Ranka Didi. They'll be afraid of you. When you're coming, they will not line up for food. That's not it. That's not Christianity. True Christianity, you say, do I need this house? Not really. I stay most of my time in Lagos, Abuja, Enugu, whatever it is. But let me invest the money, build classrooms. Let me pay core members extra to convince them to stay. Let me build a small copper's lodge. So they will teach the boys and girls growing up there. They will teach them physics, maths, you know, English language. They will teach the subjects so that those ones can grow and prosper like I have prospered. They will come there and teach real skills. They wouldn't want to stay because it's not a comfort. I mean, you know your village is in the bush. Even you don't like going there. So why should a core member want to stay there? But make it comfortable for him. Put solar panels there. Do you get my point? Build four rooms. Two for the boys, two for the girls. Or make it eight. So you can take more people and give them reason to stay. You know what we call reason to stay? It's money. Federal government will give them some. You will add to it. See, all the money you spend on core members for 10 years will not finish the foundation of that house. You know. So do it. Let it get to a point in time that core members will be looking and like, ah, if they post to that village, man, you will enjoy it. Why? You know, there is this, they are talking about it. So in the camp, they're already thinking. Say, ah, I've just saved my money. They know that all, they can actually save all their allowance for the whole year because of the one you are giving them. And they have solar panels, at least. They have, they can live a comfortable life. We have a small computer center for them where they don't have their personal computers. They can go and use and be happy. And please don't put it on television. We don't want to see it. Grand opening of the village resource center. Stop that rubbish. We don't want to see it. It's between you and your people and God. Do you get my point? Yes. That is how Christians behave. We don't have to know about it. See, I've said it. Stop collecting part of your reward. Now you do all of that and I want to plaster all over the papers. You know what Jesus said? Verily, verily, dear, I say unto you, you have your reward already. So leave it. Say, I don't want it yet. The Igwe will now want to give you chieftaincy title. Agata Gbachiruzo. Say, I don't want. Say, I don't need it. Everybody can pass. I am not blocking the road. Tell them you don't want. No, seriously. You know, we should reason differently. We Christians. We should reason differently. You don't even have to name it after yourself. Just put it there. Jesus is Lord Center. God's goodness, you know. You know, just put one name there. And then what do they owe you? So what do we pay you back with? Say, I want, of course, this school, no cheating. I want to be getting straight A's. With spice with a few B's is okay. Alright? If you guys can do that, I'm fine. That is better than that house. I've been warning some of you that go and build a house that Peter and Bar is coming for your house. Now I've been telling you. The day Peter and Bar arrives, the bulldozer. Just now I'm the one that sent him. Prophetically. I say you're confused. You know what Peter and Bar and Charles Oludo, you know what they do to houses of iniquity. You did not realize it was a house of iniquity. But God said, look at the idol he put there. It's a small aside. Let's continue our main thing. So God said, pray for the welfare. Again, let me say it. You have to pray for the welfare of the nation you are in. Do not be an accuser. Do not be a grumbler. Don't be one that's always complaining about everything government is not doing. Your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. God needs your words. He needs you to cooperate with him to bless your nation. Your words are powerful. Your prayers are important. Sometimes when I challenge Christians and say, you are not praying. They say, instead of all this grumbling, pray. They say, I'm praying. I say, no, it's not possible. There's nobody praying like this that talks like this. What you see every time is false. What is wrong? When they say, government is doing something or something has happened, say, are you sure? But when you say it's a bad thing, you don't say, are we sure? Then this kind of country that greed is collapsing 8 times in 1 year. I said, it was restored 8 times. Yeah, because if it was not restored, it's one collapse. Do you get my point? Yes, now if you collapse in January, we don't see you till August. It's one collapse. But when you have 8 by August, it means that they kept restoring it. Focus on that one. Focus on the fact that it's constantly being restored. But some people will not sit on that. Ah, look at what's going on in this country. How can greed collapse 80 times in 1 year? Brethren, its meat was restored 8 times. Thank God for it. Somebody said to me, "Say, well, we like to celebrate mediocrity." I said, no, we celebrate progress. We do. If a child is in school, every time you test him, he gets 1 over 50. Then one day he gets 10 over 50. Is 10 over 50 pass? You won't celebrate that? You had better if you ever want him to get 50 over 50. There are schools, you know, most schools do first, second, third, and all of that. There are different reward systems. There's a system in which they reward most improved. Yeah. And I've learned it from one of our people, their school. They reward all kinds of things. And you should do that with children. If you see a child that comes regularly on time, note it. Always neat, note it. But that's not what I want to talk about. This one, the reward most improved. You may not be the best in the class, but you have shown significant improvement. They note it. It's to encourage you. The fellow who said, I wanted to tell you, I said, you are waiting for conditions to be perfect before you rejoice. You'll be depressed all your life. Fact. So please, people of God, I just want to add that one to it for us. Let's remember, we have a responsibility. I was listening to a message the other day, and the preacher was explaining the meaning of the word church. He said he thinks they should drop the word church. He talked about how, where the name came from, and he doesn't like it. I think it's Derek Prince. He said he doesn't like it. You know why he doesn't like it? He said it gives a wrong impression. It makes it so religious. He said the proper word is assembly. I mean, say, what's the difference between church and assembly? Do you have national church? No, answer. Do you have national church? Do you have state church? State house of church. Do you have? But you know, let's change the words. What do you have?
Assembly.
National assembly. State house of assembly. Once we hear it, what comes to your mind? No. When you hear, what comes to your mind? Legislation. Thank you. Lawmaking. If I tell you national assembly, you know, he said the women are gathered in the Eagle Square. Is that what you heard? What do you hear, National Assembly? You know that they are making laws. When you hear State House of Assembly, it's not the place where men gather. You mean a place where laws are made. That's the focus there. And when Jesus used the word, that's what he was referring to. And in the context, all right, of the, I think the Greeks, and I think later the Romans, not sure which one of them now. The Greeks first, yes. Those are the people that rule the city. And that's what we use today in democracy. They rule the city. It was made up of men, usually men, citizens, upright, upstanding, yes, successful men, good people in the society. Yeah, they select them and they make laws. Everything is decided. Are we going to war? They decide. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, he didn't say, I'll bring my clapping people. He didn't say, I'll build my praying people. He didn't say, I'll bring my religious people. He said, I will build my assembly. The people who will make laws for me on the earth. That's what church is. And that's why that preacher was saying, I think it was Derek Prince. That's why he was saying that. He doesn't like the word church. Because people grew up thinking of it in a religious fashion. So they do not owe, they don't realize they have a responsibility to the society they are in. So what God is saying is that if you are in Enugu, you are the law, you are Jesus' law, you know, makers. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Not giver, maker. Thank you. So if you say this nation should prosper, you know what will happen? It will prosper. If you want to end corruption, you will end corruption. I hope you're getting my point. But you see, Satan knowing that, no, listen, Satan knows a lot. Satan, very, very intelligent. So you say, how do I fight these people? He's always using strategies. Those of us who think he uses strength, we are the ones that have a problem. So we fight him as if it's a matter of strength. The man doesn't, is it the man? The guy, the spirit, the fellow, the being. All right? He doesn't use energy. He uses what? Tactics. He comes and talks to you. Be careful what you hear when you're standing up by yourself. All those thoughts, when you're just lying down, just looking at the sky. That is when he likes. He's talking to you. And there are negative thoughts. You're just blinking. The way this country is going. Yeah. Man, 20 years ago, this country was not like this. 20 years ago, you were 5, all right? But let's leave that. And you are blinking. What will happen in 20 years? You have to prepare. You have to put 25% aside. And then you can steal small money. You have to get ticket too. As soon as you marry, your wife must go and have the children. The first child must be born in America, the next one in the UK. No, UK doesn't give automatic citizenship because we are born there anymore. Which country gives? Oh, I think Iran does. Iran. Let's see. Satan is working on you. Satan is active. Do you get my point? He's active. You think you are thinking? You are listening. You think you are thinking? You are not thinking. What are you doing? You are listening. You are being fed. Somebody is telling you things. You think you are the one listening. You are the one thinking. You are not the one thinking. You are listening. You are not thinking. What will not happen to you now? You just be thinking all kinds of things. Once the thoughts beget worry, is Satan. And let me tell you what they call worry. Worry is not, no, that's not worry. Most people are worried, are calm. But they're very calm. They are very, very calm. They are calm. They are not. What they just do is they are doing what? What are they doing? They are planning. I didn't know this until I began to worry. I didn't know it. It was when I began to worry. I was planning to get married. I wanted to marry this girl. She had a, eh? Are you the one that married her? Now me they see her every day. Now girl. She's just a little girl for my face. That is girl. Do you know? I think she always looked like this. It's only when I see pictures. Was that you? So I wanted to marry this girl. So of course, I didn't have as much sense as I have now, because many of the things I spent money on, if it's today, I won't spend. I won't have bought those shoes. Yes, those shoes, they were not necessary. The ones I had, they were good. I just needed to polish them. They would have worked. None of those shoes showed up in any of my pictures. Go and check my pictures. None was seen. I can show you the picture, especially the one for traditional wedding. It was expensive. It was shooking my leg one place. You know what I mean? Shooking my leg. One place was pinching me. I had to fix it later. It was my size, but I wore it up and down under the Urubu attire. The thing was sweeping the floor, so the shoes were under. Nobody saw the shoes. Only me when I was wearing them. Once I tied that big wrapper, the shoes disappeared. When I finished the shoes, I wore agbada. The agbada was shining so much that nobody noticed the shoes. If it's not, I'm buying those shoes. Cost me money for nothing. I didn't enjoy them. Some things you use after. And let's not go there. If you want to plan wedding, come and see me. Let me talk sense into your head. Let me go a small aside. Those days, I ask women, why must you make gowns? Why don't you have a business where they rent out gowns? The girls wanted to kill me. You know, let me explain. You know, the time we married, you know the way it is. You're in a marrying circle. You get my point? Like, a friend of mine wedded a week before one, wedded 3 months before one, wedded 6 months before one, wedded 9 months before another one, wedded 1 month after. So you're wedding. So all the brides. So sometimes you are there, the brides are talking. So I told them that, why don't they rent gowns? The brides wanted to lynch me. How can? How? Because then everybody made their wedding gowns. And I thought it was a bad idea. Because they were pretty expensive. And you wouldn't catch a bride dead without making her own. Lie. So it was a major investment. So I said, girls, why do... they said, what do you mean? Big bride? They wanted... 10 years later, the prophet was right. I've been a prophet for a very long time. Leave that, you know. But now when I tell ladies that people used to actually make their own gown, like, what? Why would they do that? Yes, that's what they were doing. But now everybody don't borrow sense, which I had long before that. I have more understanding than the brides because his testimonies are what? My meditation. Thank you very much. Anyway, so then, we were planning to get married and I didn't have a lot of money. So every night, I will sit up and I'll be thinking, okay, what will happen is that when they pay salaries, I'll do this. I'll be allocating money, allocating resources. That is, I was always thinking about the wedding, the expenses. I was always doing it. I wasn't worrying. I was just thinking. I was just planning. Except that, till now, God bless me, I sleep well. Usually when I go to sleep, within 15 minutes of lying down, I'm deep. I've read like, I don't know which cloud. I've really moved. I've moved. I've gone far. So this one, I will lie down for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, and I'm not yet asleep. It's really so bad, I will get up to go and do something. So why am I lying down here? So I look for something to do. This kept on going on for days. After some time, it now became concerning that, you're not sleeping. So I lay down one of those days, and then now I know it was the Lord. I just heard it clearly in my mind. like a thought. This is what they call worry. I never thought I was worried. I said, what? The minute I discovered it, you know what happened? Next day, I slept on time. That is, I came, laid down as usual, but then, and I slept. Because immediately, I apologized to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. I cast my burdens upon him. And then, the peace of God that passes all understanding returned to my heart. And next day, when I laid down, 15 minutes later, less than 15 minutes, I was off asleep. That was when I got the meaning of the word worry. Many times in this life, we are being taught to worry. And they call it wise planning. Yes. You have to be careful. A lot of things we call planning for you is nothing but worry. They're exercising in how... Listen, if anybody tells you how to lay up treasure for retirement, the person is teaching you how to worry. The whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Most of the worldly tricks and techniques is nothing but worry. Once you start thinking about the future, what will happen in the future is satanic. You lie down at night, you're plotting, not is happening tomorrow, I mean literally next 24 hours, about when you have to go to work. It's like, okay, what will happen to this business in 5 years? Where will I be in 10 years? It's worry. See, there's no way to explain it away and you'll be righteous. It's pure worry. Let me tell you something about Christianity. It's a very funny life. It's a crazy, can I borrow the word? Crazy life. If you live it properly, it's crazy. You'll be odd. Sometimes people just think something is wrong with you. When you mention the fact that you don't have money laid up somewhere, like, do you know what's going to happen to the economy? Say, Jesus said, if I lay it up, moth will eat it. Thieves will break in and steal. And steal it. So I'm not going to bother. So what's your plan? Your children are growing. How will they go to university? I don't know. The Lord will take care of it. How he's going to do it, I don't know. You know, there's a prayer I prayed some time ago. God will do something for you, eh? Just so that you will understand that he's God. Yes. I want you to say amen to that.
Amen.
God will give you a story to tell. That you say, I didn't know how this was going to happen. But when I saw it happen, my jaw dropped. Told about the brother who said he wanted to go abroad. You know, his aim was to go abroad, go and do this and do that. He did everything. When he sent the testimony, he had arrived in one foreign country. But let me remind you of the testimony. He said his father was willing to sell land, the land he had, to fund his trip abroad to go and study. He tried everything. It didn't work. He had a job in the university as a graduate assistant or lecturer too, something like that. He said, so one day he heard me teach. And I told a story to the end that, anyway, that sometimes you want something so bad, God can't even give you. That relax, rest. So he relaxed. He rested. I told the Christianity is crazy. He rested so much, his father thought he had lost vision. He had lost the drive of his life that he used to have. Because he told the Lord, if you want to give me this, give me. If you want to leave it. He said, I said, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. But I said, what is the assignment for today? He said, he looked at his life. He said, there are two things he was doing that time. One, he was teaching university as a graduate assistant or assistant lecturer, yes. So, he said, let me pour my energy, pour my life into my students. Then in church, he was a kind of a youth pastor. He said, let me pour my life, my energy into the young people in church. So he forgot everything and started doing this aggressively. His father would ask him, how far, what about that plan to go abroad to go and do a PhD? I told his father that I'm busy. His father was now discouraged that, what is wrong with this boy? He told the father, like this kind of leave me attitude. And this went on for 2 years. Or a little more than that. Then one day he got a message. These were his words. He said, sir, Then Jesus surprised me. Before his father wanted to sell land, have you? This is when he got a message, an email. And now, remember, in 2 years, he had not applied for anything. Then he got an email inviting him for an interview. Those days was Skype. Skype was there, so it was a Skype interview. He said, fine. So he prepared for it, went somewhere where he could get to use Skype. He said he didn't think he performed particularly well. Because it was a short notice, his mind was not on it anymore. So he went for the interview. They interviewed him. Make a long story short. Then they sent him an email later again that he was successful in the interview. The whole of Africa, they picked 5 persons. They had hundreds, if not thousands, of applications. So he applied for that thing years before. He had forgotten about it. They just randomly picked people. He was one of those they picked. They interviewed him. They decided that he did well. He said he didn't think he did. And they gave him a fully funded scholarship to go and study robotics engineering. He's an engineer. His father didn't have to sell anything. It was when he arrived in Israel that he sent the email. He said, sir, I just arrived. It was funded by a European Union agency. He's supposed to go and study robotics at PhD level. Fully funded. Ticket, tuition, upkeep, everything. That one, the guy just said, let's see. He said, waiting to happen. He said, oh, Chukwu. I mean, it has to be Chukwu. It has to be. It's not only, I mean, it's just God that did what he did. Worry. I tell you, the life of a Christian, let me be honest with you, it can appear crazy. Everybody rushing, let's go and buy land. The price of land is going up. Like I used to say those days, I said, do I look like I'm going down? I didn't know I was speaking by inspiration. People rush. I said, guys, relax. Price of land is going up. I said, do I look like I'm going down? Actually, when I finally bought, I paid 20 times what I would have paid if I was rushing with them that time. So I know the price went up. But did I go down? The price went up 20 times. I went up 40 times. They speak when you see things like that. The reaction a lot of people give is that, I don't know what's going on in this country. What will ever happen to a young person? It is to you according to your faith. It's what you say in his hearing that he does to you. So say something. Tell your neighbor, say something. Yes, you have to respond. And look, even if it's crazy. Maybe they say, come and buy land. 5 years ago, you said it was 2 million. You didn't have money. This year now, that same area. And I tell you, please, oh, come and buy. It's 10 million. You say, It looks, I should have bought that time. Don't worry about it. See, I don't say such things anymore. I should have bought that time. Did you have money that time? Did you have? You didn't have. That's why you didn't buy. Not like you didn't know want. You didn't have. Let's leave that thing. Speak to that plot of land. Say, see, if you like me 500 million one day, if I want you, if the Lord wants to give you to me, I will pay with a check which I will not even remember. Just say it like that and go away. Did they charge you for saying it?
No, sir.
Why are you afraid to say it? Did you say that you will work hard to fulfill what you have said? He said, if it pleases the Lord, which was what Joshua kept on telling them, which was what Caleb kept on telling them. If the Lord our God is with us, Abba, that's the deciding factor. Say it and go away. David said, if it's a matter too difficult for you, why are you worrying your head? Just speak and then leave it. Our houses used to be just 2.5 million for a whole bungalow those days. Now, bungalow 35, 40. 80. Hey, we are dead. Hey, that is the sin. If you say that, God it will make sure you actually die without ever buying that house. Look at there, say you're not 85 million, small house like you. That's your problem. My God is more expensive than you. Just say it like that and leave it. Say it and go back to your one bedroom. Yeah, say it back and go back to where you're living and forget it. Stop buying newspaper to check or going online. Real estate today. Don't bother. It's worry. It begets worry. The Lord says, sufficient unto the day is what?
The evil thereof.
What is the evil thereof? Said, my rent is due next week. Do I have money to pay for it? Simple. Father goes up. That's, limit your prayer point to that. Father God, I need to have 500,000 to pay. Right now I have 350. So please balance me 150. That's limit you to that. And when you pray, rejoice. Some say, why will you be paying a landlord this kind of money? Because he's a landlord and you are not. What's your problem? If you're the one that owned the house, you will charge more. All these people that whine and complain. When is their turn? The way they will charge. Oh, I remember the one day, this was years ago. My wife was still working in the bank that time. So I had called her ahead that, please, oh, I finished negotiating with the agent. Draw the cash. You know, it's not like now we do transfer and all of that, you know, that one. So I needed to pay the agent. I was going to give him cash. I said, please draw the cash. I'll come by your bank to pick it. So she was working in the bank, of course. So they saw her fill it, you know, tell her, withdraw more, and was packing money, putting it in the bank. Ah. So they said, what is that? I said, my husband is coming to pick the money. He's going to pay for a house.
Yeah. What the women are talking? What? You give that to somebody? No. Better invest this kind of money in your own house.
Now, the money then, for them, yeah, it was a lot of money that time. When they saw her draw 606,000 naira in cash, like, my God, what's wrong with you and your husband? Do you know how much land is? You could put this one, on land. I told my wife. So, and really, then you could get decent land, 500,000. Ah, I said, when I bought the land, 500,000 naira. Oh, now, I'll now park onto the land. Onto the empty plot. I said, what is wrong with these people? They said, we'll be doing small, small. I said, if you, 1 year, one block, thank you. If you know me, from time, you know, there are some things God just gave some people. It wasn't about money. I didn't have much of it. I had a kind of heart. Yeah, I've always been like that. I just couldn't do that. And when you now put two blocks, I stay behind it. I don't roofing shit, I stay under it. Me? No. No. I didn't have a problem giving the landlord money. It's his house. He invested money when I did not. God bless him. I don't see it as if he's defrauding me. I see that he's doing me a favor. No, I'm telling the story. One of those who talk here, I still remember one of them. A husband and a wife, two of them. One of the women talking here. The husband also walked around. So my wife was very friendly with them. So one is, let's go and visit them. And my wife told me that they have moved to their own house. When they went there, where they were living before, so we went. You now told me that they moved to their own house. When she described it for me, I said, if you gave me free, that is like, come and live here free, God knew me, I wouldn't go. The way she described it, it's as if the house was on 250 square meters. Yeah, I'm serious. One time they just squeezed and said, hey, now our own. Say, this is pride. See, I don't have a problem with giving a landlord money. I will bless him. God bless you, sir. You built this house. The Bible says, I will live in houses I did not build. It didn't say I won't pay rent. It said, I will live in houses I did not build. So, I didn't build this one. I'm living in it. And I give you an offering every year. It's a gift. It's called appreciation. It's called honorarium. You are ministering to me. So I sow into your life. It can be 1 million. It can be 2 million. It's a seed. No, it's about perspective. Sufficient unto the day. That's that day. That's it. Say, God, please give me money to pay rent. Let me pay it well. Let me not owe. I remember that house I was talking about, me and the landlord had a disagreement much later. By the time we left the place, if I wanted, it was out of anger, I packed and moved to, funny enough, a bigger house, a better house, all right? Lived in Jordan for some time. So one day, me and my friend, Pastor Annie, that came to, you know, went to see the man. He came, he doesn't live in town. So we're talking about the issues. I remember the statement he made. So Pastor A asked him a question. He said, no, Dr. Banky doesn't owe me. I didn't forget. That is a testimony. That's what I'm going to say is a testimony. He said, no, it doesn't owe me. And so the guy was in there. So what's all this quarrel over? Because he handed his house over to somebody to manage, and that one was a troublesome person. So I said, look, I don't have, in fact, my friend just said to me, he said, look, you came to Enugu to preach, not to go to court. He said, look, Banky, you don't need this kind of headache. He said, you came to Enugu to preach. You don't need this kind of distraction. So I said, yes, good. So we went to look for another house, and God opened the door, and we moved. The house I moved to, we stayed there for 8 years until we moved to our own property where we live now. 8 years. One day, the last time I paid rent or so, I called the landlord's an elderly man, so I prefer dealing with his son. The son will be about my age. So I called him. I said, well, how now? Good morning. He said, hey, Pastor Banky. I just said, good morning. He said, the great Pastor Banky. This guy kept the healing on for a long time. I was like, what's going on? He said, the Pastor Banky, the ultimate, he was just going on and on and on. Finally, I realized why he was doing that. He said, the man that pays his rent without being reminded. My rent was due February 1. We pay yearly, of course, you know. I always called him around 27th, 28th. So as soon as I called, he knew what it was about. He said, this guy will never fail. 27th, 28th, I'll call him. And what I'm just calling is that, should I bring a check or can I transfer to your dad's account? That's all we just need to clarify. You'll not tell me what to do. If I one day his father asked him something, because the man has a lot of houses, you understand? He has a lot of them. He was the one telling me, his father said, this guy, why does he behave like this? Because it was unusual for him to have a tenant he never had to drill, you know, fight, threaten to get his money. You know what that one said? He said, daddy, don't you hear him on radio? He's practicing what he's preaching. That's what he told his father. He said, don't you hear him? He's practicing what he's preaching. Some people have more money than I did. They ain't going to pay you. Because they believe that paying you is, how should I give a landlord this money? Don't be crazy. You are living in his house. That is why. I'm giving that testimony because that was what God did for me. People say, hey, buy land. The land I finally bought, I didn't go to look for land. I was going to say, Pastor Banky, come. I said, yes, sir. Come and buy this land. I said, okay, sir. How much do you want to pay? He said, what's your budget? I said, I don't have budget. He said, no, just give me an idea so that I can arrange something for you. Do you real estate? He said, what's your budget? I said, I don't have budget. He said, just give me an idea of what you are thinking of. I said, sir, I was told not to read my menu from the right. For those who don't know what that means, the price list is on the right. The food is on the left. He said, don't check the price before you check what you want to eat. Even though me and Nduka did that one when we traveled recently. Yeah, it's Nduka that started it though. But nah, look, don't blame Nduka. Our host went to preach. They put on the hotel. They say, anything you like, just order your food. And me and Bet, small aside, be careful how you handle things like that. When they tell you anything, anything does not mean anything. So just eat anything. I said, okay. I have a rule. I don't run up bills for my hosts. You know, because I preach, I travel once in a while like that. Of course, almost all the time you stay in a hotel. And a lot of them tell you the same thing. Please, just order food. Oh boy. No, be Owo soup, where did you wanted to eat? How much did they say? 42,000. Okay. So you understand? Yeah. That's just one. It was like that. If you want this one, go to me. This one at 36. Dinner, I will just eat. No, not for the two of us. One plate, too. That if two of us, that would be 84,000. If we decide we want to eat two plates of Edeka Icon soup with this and that, or whole soup with fresh fish. So please, oh, that's what I mean. If you are not the one paying, read the menu from your right. Last time we had a program in December, one of our brothers, the one you guys went to pick that day, he said he doesn't eat hotel food. Now I told you that it's because he's a host. He hosts people a lot, so you understand. So we put him in a hotel here. He said, no, he won't eat their food. He told my wife, Claire, that's not going to eat their food. Ah, why? He says, they are too expensive. So my wife said, okay, no problem. They had to go and bring food for him. He said, no, he said he's okay with it. Now I told you that it's because he's a host. He hosts people, so he knows what they've done to him. And he told himself, I won't do that to anybody. That's a small aside. We left our message now. So I told the man that day, I said, I don't read my menu from the right. Thank God I didn't. Because when he told me the price of the meal he wanted to serve me, I almost fell down. But because I'm a man of God, he called me Pastor Banky, so I had to behave like a man of God. I can do all things. But you know what? We did all things. When he saw my countenance, he said, no, don't, not a problem. I'll give you time. You have 6 months to pay. I said, ah. Make a long story short, I didn't go looking. The thing came looking for me. When I said, don't worry, I personally have lived that one. He would say, hey, giddy, giddy, let's go. I said, I better relax. I used to say that I didn't come to Enugu because I loved the city. I've been here only once, and I didn't really see the city. And it was not this fine. That was 1987, 88. 88, yeah. 88, 89, thereabout. I didn't see the city. But we're camped on campus. So I didn't come because I loved the city. I came because I felt divinely directed. So if I came because the Lord divinely directed, the Lord must have had a plan. He must have had a plan. He must have had a plan. This is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to live. He must have had a plan. And that's my attitude. And he's the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for him. Sometimes when you're saying, God, do this, do this. Why he's not doing it is that he knows that you are forcing him to do it because you're worried. You're not doing it, you're not asking him because you really recognize his power and you are relying on him. It's because you are anxious. It's because you have anxiety. It's because you're not at peace. It's not because you really trust his power. It's more of, oh, use your power to stop me from worrying. He said, no, use your faith to stop worrying. Use your trust to stop worrying. I cannot fund your disobedience. Yeah. So I don't want to fund your disobedience. You are anxious. You are telling me, hey, yeah, my father, do something for me. He said, no, you are not rested. So let's not forget that. I went into that. You know, we're not reading our scripture, right?
Yes, sir.
We're warming up to reading our scripture. So, just want to emphasize to us again that, listen, we have a duty. We are the assembly. We are what?
The assembly.
The assembly. This time around, we don't mean just gathering. We mean the lawmakers. We make intercession. We don't grumble. If things are not working, we make intercession. Thank God for all the development that this nation has been seeing. Who would believe that it's just last year that apart from two African countries, that all African countries were petroleum product importing, including the ones that produce the crude, Nigeria being number one. There were only two countries, the whole of Africa, that was refining his own products. Can you believe that? Until last year. And God, the Spirit of God moved upon a man to build the one in Ekpe. Until now, for the first time. In, I don't know, maybe for almost forever. When they are now talking about those who export refined products, you now list this nation as one. Until refineries in Europe are now closing down because of us. As soon as Dangote started producing, one refinery shut down Europe. And they, The analysis which I saw from one of these big international magazines was about 8 will close. 8, yes, 8. As soon as I started producing, when they checked the price, the quality and everything, aviation fuel was now being shipped from Ekpe to Europe. Even exports to the United States. You see where I'm going with why I brought up that issue? If things go the way they are saying, by the end of this year, we'll have over 1 million barrels a day refining capacity. You see what I'm talking about it? I don't have any shadow of doubt in my heart. Forget the man who did it, but there are people who prayed for it. Do you know why the thing was going on? Those of you know now, here, used to add prayer to it. I didn't care who owned it. Do you follow? Do you know there are people who wanted it to go bad? Yeah. No, you are thinking about his enemies. No. I mean average citizens. Because of bitterness. Talking to one guy one day, I was just giving him prospect how beautiful things are that God is doing for us. He said, so we are going to be, we have to be patronizing that man. Yeah. We're not going to be in bondage to him. That's all he was saying. I looked at him that day. I didn't know how to answer him. From this thing that you have described, this is all that concerns you. That you would rather, you could see his countenance. He didn't want it to succeed. It is better we import than this man be the one to build it. Some people, they don't want, why should I say, I don't care. Did you know the cartel holding you in bondage for 50 years? I'm talking about the power of intercession. If you want to see good in your land, God says, it's your responsibility. If you want banditry to stop, for 1 year, stop blaming the government. Join hands and pray. If you don't pray for them, they will not know what to do. Even if they knew what to do, they wouldn't have the power to do it. There's a reason why you and I are called the assembly. There are times you even have to listen to this. You, as an assembly, you must decree judgment. There are times you decree judgment. Yes, sir. Not just blessing alone. Because sometimes God will say, hey, wait. How do we take care of iniquity?
Yes.
You have to agree. And say, Lord, let drought be. People will suffer and say, we need to suffer small. Our heads are not correct again. Yeah. What did Elijah say? There will be no dew or rain except by my word. And threw the whole nation into what? Famine. Why? Because of disobedience to God. There are times you tell the country, see, you know me, I used to do it. I said, I was shouting dollar. I said, this dollar will hit 2,000. Why? I said, because of you. So when we were talking somewhere, it was climbing. Tall reverend told me, I said, look, pastor says to hit 2,000, so relax. That's when we get to 2,000. And he hit, after I don't kiss 2,000, I said, pastor, please, can it go down now? If I watch the people I behave, I will use my ecclesia power. The assembly power. It's actually called ecclesia. Yes, hey Lord, these people, these your children, they won't. I better make the thing 4,000 so that their head will be correct. It will be for a reason. It's always for good. All these are our private universities in Nigeria. If things were not, if dollar was 200 naira, you think anybody would go there? They will export all the children to crazy places in Eastern Europe. There are countries where Nigerians go to university and like, excuse me, how did you get here? How did you get here? You wonder, how did you get here? The sins of your ancestor must be working hard. On your matter, how did you get here? All the universities they have in Nigeria that are not yet populated, how did you get here? You just don't escape to anywhere. And they actually get anywhere. Some people even go to some funny African country because they are closer to Europe and they'll be able to swim across. If you are listening to me and you'll be gathering money to pay somebody who wants to ship you through Mali, you die in Mali. Please, where if you, I know some of you will not hear. You are too stubborn. All right? So go and buy a dog tag. You know what you call dog tag? Give your money to people smugglers to drive you across the desert. Do you know what they call desert? Forget the ones you watch in movies. Those ones, there's director everywhere. Props everywhere. In real desert, you go look front like this, nothing. You go look back like this, nothing. You'll have to dig yourself into the sand, not to burn up with the sun in the afternoon. Yeah, that's what you do in the desert. When you look, nowhere to go. You will dig sand and bury yourself. Otherwise, you'll die of heat. At night, don't come out from the sand. Cold will kill you. And don't stay inside the sand. Serpent will bite you. Say, oh, let that go now. Who sent you there in the first place? No, people won't hear. You're telling them, anywhere but this country, God said, no problem. You end up in Libya. Next 10 years, you're in Libya. Working as a slave. So what am I doing? You said anywhere. That's what you said. That was what you said. And I have fulfilled your word. Some people will make it to Europe. You know where what they are going to be? They'll be picking olives and grapes for the next 10 years. A slave. Let's talk to Christians. We have a duty. He said, pray for the land that I send you into as exiles. Please, let me get to my message, please. So I was trying to give us the background. He said, seek the welfare, verse 7, of the city where I have sent you into as exiles, and pray to the Lord on his behalf. For in his welfare you have welfare. For thus is the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. Now, please, let me get down to the main thing where I want. He said, you're going to be there for 70 years. Why? Verse 11. Because I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. He now said, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me that this is just actually this verse is the main one for today. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Now, please, let me read that verse 13 again. It says, when will you find me? When you seek me and search for me with all your heart. When you seek me and search for me with all your heart. Now listen to this. One of the things God does for us with the problems and circumstances around our lives is not so that we'll be facing problems, it's so that we'll seek the Lord. Did you get my point? If you suffer loss, don't try and recover what you lost. Go and seek the Lord. If you suffer disappointment, don't try and compensate for the disappointment. Go and seek the Lord. If you have troubles, it's not just about solving the troubles. It is about what? Seeking the Lord. You know what I found out? For Christians, for children of God, troubles are actually, literally, His way of calling our attention. Yes, literally. They are His way of calling our attention. He literally calls our attention. He literally does that. So anytime you see troubles ahead or troubles nearby or troubles with you, it's God's way of telling you, seek me. If suddenly you need more money than you have, seek the Lord. If suddenly you are sick, you're not as healthy as you should be, seek the Lord. If things seem to be going out of order in your life, don't seek solutions to the things that are going out of order. Seek the Lord. Let's assume a father takes a piece of, or a rod, a cane, you know, piece of plant to flog the child. Let me ask, will it make sense tomorrow? for the child to go and be looking for defense against Cain? Huh? What will he do? He'll go and correct, what is it that I do wrong that makes daddy flog? That's what it is. When I was in secondary school, we did the opposite. We boarding house. We had a teacher that used to flog. Instead of us to go and find out why he flogs people, we decided that we will pad our bum when we are coming to class. And yes, we used to wear 4 pairs of knicker. Yeah. My friend and I, we are going to class, literally 4. I mean 4. Houseware, brown. Then gameswear. I forgot the color of that. They wear the chapel wear. We're one on top of each other. Then finally the school wear, which good enough was bigger than the rest. Now we're down on top. That was navy blue. We're going to class of 4. Because the man had a way of logging on the bum bum. This will teach us English. Funny enough, you know the funny part? I never got flogged. All that one I did, it was just fear. Well, my friend got flogged. So this man carried him like they gave him, boom, I heard toom. Well, what I want to say, please, I will say it in English, but you can't get the sense in English. The way he said, and the title, he said, ah, Baba, kino ko si di. He said, Baba, you know what Baba means now? We're small children, I mean, what you call Jesus or Jesus 2 now. He said, ah, oh boy, what did you pack for mom? He flogged the boy, he had two. I was sitting on my chair like, don't call me. The Lord is good. Now, well, of course, we didn't get it right. What he wanted us to do is simple. Do your homework. Pay attention in class. He was teaching us, there are things he taught then which we'd never forgot. We used to make a joke of it, but it made us remember. When it's third person singular, you add S to it. Do you understand? That third sentence, we didn't forget. Third person singular, you add S to it. So we don't turn our upside down now. Third person plural, we put S. Third person singular, we remove the S. But the man taught me that in what you now call GSS1, which is rod. And brethren, we paid attention. Where I'm going is that when God, you see, because if you check it, when Peter was talking about troubles, he called them the discipline of the Lord. Trials, he called them the discipline of the Lord. I hope you're getting my point. Yes. So what do we do? It's not just us trying to solve the discipline, that the trouble, but to find out, why am I being disciplined? What's the Lord trying to correct in my life? What is the discipline object? What is it trying to achieve? That's why I said what I said. Any trouble, anything that's uncomfortable in your life, use it as an opportunity to seek the Lord. Whether it's small or heavy, use it to seek the Lord. There was a time I was having issues with the power company, EDC. I remember I literally would kneel down in my house, because I hated, you know the way they used to behave. I'm not saying they are bad, I'm not saying they are good. Maybe I'm the bad person, all right? So I'm not here to blame anybody, okay? But of course, when you don't have a prepaid meter, they will just come. One man just looked at my house. He said, my house is as big as a hotel. He actually told me that. When I told him that this bill is ridiculous. Look at how much you build. Literally, you build me 5 times what was fair. And it happened to be December when nobody was around. Just my wife and I around. I dragged them to Neko. Good enough, we have a troublesome bro in the house. Oh, God, that bro is troublesome. He's a lawyer. He said, okay, let me sue these people. I said, court care. He said, okay, let me sue them. So I gave him some documents. He said, let's start with NEC. So he went and filed the case at NEC. And NEC sent people to come, go from point to point, assess my consumption. They're estimating. By the time they finished, NEC judge, I said, no, you can't charge him like this. Cut it down by like 75%. Yeah. And said they must put a meter immediately. That until that time, this is the maximum they're allowed to build with. Now, where I'm going with it is that, in the midst of that, you think, I still remember, I know where I used to kneel in the house, say, Lord, I want peace of mind. Then beyond that, because I used to pray specifically, this matter be solved. I said, God, this is power issue, Abi. Okay. So maybe it's power into my life that's the real problem. You're not getting my point?
Yes.
It's an electricity matter that's giving me this kind of, problems. So I started talking about, I started checking whether the power of God is actually flowing into my life. Because before that final one that I'll tell you about, we're out for, wasn't it like 5 days? Yes, that was burning for 5 days straight. It got to a point when I said, which kind of headache is this one? You know, I don't like to cheat people. And why should they be cheating me? I don't mind paying them their money, but these things they are doing, after I abandoned the physical power matter, as I pray about the power of God, I said, maybe my life doesn't have power. I don't know. Do you catch what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, no, seriously. I started checking, okay, you said that you're looking for electricity. Do you have electricity inside? Is power of God flowing through you or to you? Maybe inside your heart now, bulb no they work again. You don't know. All the appliances inside your soul, they've gone off. You are chasing the physical one. No, I'm not kidding. No, I literally turned into prayer. I said, because why am I having power electricity issue? It's not as if I don't have money to pay them. As far as I was concerned, I was doing what I could. So instead of focusing on them, you know what I did? I said, God, maybe there's no power in my life and I don't realize it. That's what I'm talking about. I said, no, maybe there's no power in my life and I'm chasing the physical power up and down. That problem was on my... I turned it to prayer. God. That was when God finally... And since that time till now, I've had peace. I turned to the Lord. I said, no, Father God, no. Maybe there is something. Maybe inside my heart, power is not flowing. Maybe inside my soul, the electricity is not reaching there. And you are using this physical one to call my attention. If I fall sick, that's what I do. I go and find out what's going on. It's not about medicine. I know medicine that they sell. I know it. I know them. It's just that sometimes I wonder, but this one, fact. If last year, maybe one particular month, I couldn't go out for not feeling well, no problem. The following month, it happens again. By the third time, no. I said, something is wrong. Something is wrong. I don't care the epidemic in the society. It is not supposed to touch me. If it does, I have to find out why. And I must always come out better. That's my rule. Always. If you do business and it's scattered, stop blaming everybody. That's why in this country nothing works. So, things are working. You are the one that... Look, I saw one video the other day. They asked one man, with all this crisis in the north, how much do you sell? How much do you sell in corn? He will tell you 250 million naira. What about rice? That one like 500 million. In the midst of... No, I will show you the video. It was being interviewed on, I think, Arise or AIT, one of them. One man, just see the man standing like this. Small tally. This guy sold almost a billion naira in grain in one season. And he was just talking normally. And the man said, with all the banditry and crisis going on, yes, it's going on. I will not go sell because of that. So don't just assume that things are not working for everybody. This man was producing rice, corn, and I think beans on swaths of land without slowing down. How much did you sell? The guy was giving figures. The guy was it's something between 800 million and 1 billion naira in one season. So stop focusing on the problems as the reason why you have a problem. Why is this problem touching me? Okay, my name is the widow of Zarephath. Why is Elijah not here yet? That's how we should reason. God, please, please, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be critical, but I have to correct some things.
This teaching on faith that it's just the devil that wants to devil. See, leave the devil out of this thing. Seriously, leave the devil out of this thing for goodness sake. The devil and you, see, I told you, Satan has only a few powers in your life as a Christian. Number one is what? Temptation. As part of that, deception. He wants to deceive you. He wants you to believe something that is not true. Then when you have believed what is not true, and you are living a life that's not right, he now accumulates accusations against you. And then he uses the second power, which is the power of what? Accusation. He now goes to the judgment throne of God to present accusations against you. And if he succeeds, he now gets the power of death, which is temporary and limited. There's a reason why Jesus said the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. He needs something to be able to do anything. So focus on those things and leave him and say, the devil. Listen, you have a shop, you opened it yesterday. You didn't know you went and rented at the bottom of the street. And rain started and flooded everywhere, destroyed all your goods. Don't start cursing the agent. Why did he rent me this kind of shop? Why? Don't. Ask, why is it that God didn't see to deliver me? Why didn't he see it fit to deliver me from this struggle? Because he knows this flood will come. When I was paying, he was there. When I was stocking the shop with my goods, he was there. He sent the first rain. After all, the rains come by his command. I've seen God deliver me again and again from things that God said, no, you won't fall into this one. Somebody tried to sell me a car that was bad, that I would have regretted buying. God intervened, say, bank, you won't buy it. So if I bought it, instead of being angry with a man, I should have said, why didn't God deliver me? Why didn't he intervene? Why did I pour my money inside here? God just intervened. Knocked the engine shortly after they left Lagos. Said, you are not delivering this to this guy. If that guy was moving when he got here, he would have given it to me. They would have been the one handling all the troubles after. God said, no. I don't want him to have to handle this trouble. So instead of me focusing, this guy, what you did is bad. God said, hey, ask, why didn't I deliver you? Didn't I see it? If you fall into the hands of bad people, that's what you should think of. And Lord, you knew this way, but you saw me. Then he will let you know the reasons. Say, look, but I tried. Say, Lord, what do you mean you tried? Did this guy not talk to you? Yes. Did this one not talk to you? Yes. Then you were going, did your tire not go flat here? And I tried to get that. He said, but your greed, your insistence on your own way is why you got here. Then you've learned the lesson. And listen, if you want to recover, don't argue. Just apologize. Lord, I realize it. Lord, you know, I was thinking that if that D hits now, you know how much I go make. See, that's your problem. So now stop loving big money. You will have gotten gold out of that experience. What should have been a negative experience, it has bested for you now what? Gold. You leave the place and say, it happened to me early in life. Should have started working and earning. Now I was earning my own money and spending my own money. And God said, the way you're spending it, I don't like it. You know how it made a point to me? You call one thief. Have you considered my servant banking? The thief said, no. Why? Because you surround him with children. He said, I've removed the hedge. See his load inside that car. We went to church. I kept all my worldly goods inside a bag and put inside the boot of. And the thief opened the car, carried my bag, and walked away. Look at a small thing, right? But I was young. I just started walking. I didn't have much money. And as I was looking at it, a scripture just came up in my heart, loud and clear. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. So I'm giving you money. Stop using it to acquire anything. You hear? That was 1992. I've not forgotten that lesson till today. God has been good to me. That's what I mean by God has been good. When I'm going the wrong way,
Even in ministry. Once I take step out of the wrong way, you just frustrate it. And let me pray for you. Anytime you are doing what is not right, may the Lord frustrate you.
Amen.
Oh, let me give you, there's one small message I want to preach. The life of Hezekiah. Five lessons in the life of Hezekiah. Is it five lessons or five key points? Or what do you call it now? It's five stages, anyway. Five insights. Okay. Insights, lessons, stages. Do you know? I found out from the scriptures, studying just the last few days, that Hezekiah, he instituted a lot of revival in Judah. You know that? Yeah. He served the Lord. He removed the false gods and everything. Made everybody, even from Israel, they came down to come and join in worship. Hezekiah celebrated Passover when it was not Passover because they missed the last one. He said, he's not going to go. We will still do it. And God said, wow. As soon as it was done, you know the next thing that happened? Assyrians invaded him. You would have thought that with that kind of revival, peace will come. No, the reward was as soon as he settled down. The Assyrians had just finished with northern Israel. Ah, they walked into Hezekiah and said, what's going on there? What's going on here? Now, what many of us do not know is that Hezekiah did exactly what Asa did. He went to he even removed the doors of the temple, removed the gold, and sent to Sennacherib. He gathered a lot of silver and gold, had to take from the temple with apology, and sent to the king of Assyria. Can you believe that? So first, revival. Two, trouble. Temptation. Trial. Three, backsliding. He backslid. Many of us don't realize it. Hezekiah backslid. After such massive revival, he saw trouble. But he was mindful that God was mindful that it was flesh. He tried to negotiate exactly what Asa did when Baasha came against him. But not the blessing of God in the life of Hezekiah. You may not have noticed. The king of Assyria didn't go back. He had taken many of his fortified cities. He collected all the gold and the silver and still approached Jerusalem. Ah, that was when Hezekiah said, Omo Walade. Number one, revival. Number two, trouble or trial. Three, backsliding. Four, repentance and returning to the Lord, to intercession. That's when he called Isaiah. We have to pray. See that story you read in Isaiah? He didn't include this one. You need to go and read this one in 2 Kings. I said, what? Hezekiah, you did that? Hezekiah said, my brother, when I saw trouble, God said, your solution will not succeed. Which was a blessing. The solution that Hezekiah planned did not succeed. So I've told you, when you see trouble, frustration, what should you do? Thank God. Thank God. Because he was frustrated, he had to go and pray. When he saw, he had given out all the gold he had, given all the silver. The man had taken much of his fortified cities, and he still wouldn't pull back. He had to go to God, Lord, I'm not going to do him again. Lord, please, I'm sorry. Oh, no, the sin of Asa, that's what I'm committing. I'm so sorry. I won't do it again. He began to encourage himself. He sent for Isaiah. Isaiah said, all right, I will pray for you. Isaiah went and prayed. Isaiah said, take the letters. Now, the Bible didn't say it like that, but I believe them. Go and talk to the Lord about it. He took the letter and went to the temple and said, look at what they have said. God now sent Isaiah, go and tell him, because you prayed to me about this matter, this is what I'm going to do. He will not shoot an arrow against Jerusalem. He will hear a rumor, he will go back to his city. Next thing that happened, trouble started in the life of Assyria until 185,000 soldiers died in one night. Why? Because the man prayed. Do you know why he prayed? All his own methods of solving the problems failed. Frustration came upon him. That's why I told you, look, when you seek frustration, like, be happy. It's driving you to prayer. It's driving you to prayer. It is. Listen, what God does with all of this, he said, these people are not called. No, what did we read? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13.
He said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Usually what we do, we search with part of our heart. And you know what God is doing? He's pushing the whole heart back. Search with your whole heart. That's what he's doing. You know, when I read that, I said, wow, how did I miss this? All the, you know, we always thought that Ezekiel, a good man, he just went and prayed. He didn't go to pray. He went to negotiate first. He spent God's money. God recovered it for him because when they were looting, when they gathering the spoils, days they were still gathering spoil. 185,000 soldiers gone. They brought enough materials with them. But the man didn't just immediately go to pray. It was when he tried and he failed. Another point, when your own method fails, don't think your enemies are strong. It's your God that is opposing you. So go and pray some more. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
as I told you, you are gathering money. Say, I want to buy a car. You gather 1 million. The car became 2 million. You try it again. You gather 2 million. The car became what? 3 million. You say, okay. After a while, you realize that this thing is going faster than you are gathering. I've told you. When the problem, the money you have cannot solve the problems you have, eat that money. Carry the money. Say, I did go to church. Cut a portion. Offering basket. Look for somebody. You look like you are not happy. What is the problem? Is it children's school fees? My spirit said, I should help you. Take. Say, wow, the Lord spoke to you. Oh boy, now problem speak to me. Leave this thing. I'm not saying the Lord didn't speak, but he used my troubles to speak to me. Now just remember that your birthday was last week now. Call your guys. My birthday was last week. It's not too late. It was 1 week amongst friends. Where do we meet? So please. Everybody, buy the drink, buy the meat, suya, everything. Chicken. Put music there. Bring my Nathaniel Bassi, put on there. And eat the money. The best thing you can do is make sure it finishes by the time you are done. Say, I saved 2.5 million. I went to church, I dropped 500K. School fees help, 500K. Don't think when I send my mama something, 500K. Share between my mother and my siblings, younger ones, all right? I've given them. Then this, like I keep on saying, check your shoe, whether it needs organizer. If it does, throw it away. Go and buy new ones. I know I keep telling you that. If you're a woman, self, go and buy, you know, correct hair. Buy good quality makeup. Buy jewelry. If you can't buy moto, we'll dress well. Abi? Yes, now. Very important. Finish the whole money. When the money has finished, say, God, I need a car. Yeah, it's true. He said, now, the arm of flesh has failed me. So I've gotten rid of the arm of flesh. Lord, I need a car. I'd like to just share the testimony of one of our brothers. That's what he did. December prayer, just said, God. He said, Lord, dress me for this Christmas now. That's what he said. He didn't say, God, I need a car. He just said, God, dress me. Christmas is coming. Just buy me a dress. And a thought just dropped in his mind. Go and meet this man, tell him he wants to buy his car. And he bought the car at 30% of the market price. Because he prayed to the Lord his God. When Hezekiah went that time, it was arm of flesh filled him. He has finished all the. Shame you finished paying now. Did he deliver you? No. He now went to the temple. And sometimes you need to carry the problems and put it down. I've told you, the time I'm talking about is not, I'm not saying it's a godly time, it's just my personal time, it works. When everybody has slept, and me too have slept, we now wake up, 2 a.m., even if it's 1 a.m., even if it's 4 a.m., but that quietness, as if my head is clearer. And I go, see. Total everything. Stay there until you fall asleep. Present it to the Lord. Ezekiel, when he did that, it was when God answered him. When he searched for God with his whole heart. I just added that one for us so that we know that that is what God does with our troubles. Don't feel, because I'm a good Christian, troubles shouldn't come. Hezekiah went through all the revival. That was when trouble arrived.
Don't be discouraged by that. No, it's time to go back and pray. There are certain levels of dedication that you have not entered into. Do you know? Go and read the Bible. The Bible says after that thing that the king of Assyria, when his soldiers died, everybody around became afraid of Hezekiah. All the nations around, they're like, please, oh. Where are you going? The Egyptians heard the news, they piped down. Babylonians heard the news, they came to greet him. He said, oh God, we heard you have been sick. Yes, so I was sick, oh, I thought I was going to die. Everybody suddenly was his friend because Assyria was a power that time. They were the major power. And they lost 185,000 soldiers in one night. And shortly after that, the king died. His sons assassinated him. As long as Hezekiah was alive, everybody gave him peace. So I don't want trouble. I don't want trouble. 185,000 is not something you gloss over. I know those guys, those days, you can say they were superstitious, you can say they were spiritual. Whatever it is, they knew this was not normal. They always attributed to the God of the person. So they said, the God of Hezekiah is dangerous. Everybody left him alone. He didn't have to fight that war again. He didn't have to muster an army again. He had time to be building cities. He had time to be prospering. He had time to be rearing horses. He had time to do everything. He became so rich that he became proud. Let me add a bit of it to the story of Hezekiah. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. In the midst of prosperity, God still came to test him again. When the Babylonians came, the Bible says that God left him alone to see what was in his heart. Prosperity again was a test. Last time we were talking about this, that was the main aim of our lives. That is, what are we seeking? Remember I said that it's what we seek we will find. It's all we're seeking we will find. Except that many of us don't realize that the thing we think we are seeking have other things attached. And when we see the attachments, we don't like it. And we think we found something we did not look for. No. We found what we're looking for. It's just that we were looking for one part of it and the attachment came with it. For that reason, what should we seek? Okay, there's another portion of the scripture I want us to read. Let's open to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What I plan to teach, let me see what I can get there, is the reason why we don't see the face of God. For I want to also read verses 4 and 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Now let's read together. One, two, let's go.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might.
Because Nwoko did not read, for his sake, we shall read it again. I know that he was silent and the rest of you. Let's do it again. Verses 4 and 5. 1, 2, let's go.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Amen.
It's verse 5 really that I'm focusing on. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You know, I said something last time. Let me just review briefly, explain this, and then we're done. That what we are trying to do is to get to know the Lord. Remember that. I said knowledge in spiritual things is not acquaintance with facts. It's not just intellectual, information. It is what? Power. It's the release of power. That when God wants to empower you, he shows you something about himself. You get a full realization of who he is. Just as an example again, look at that land matter we're talking about. If God wants to give a child of God land, it doesn't just show you, look at where land is. It shows you who owns the land. Do you get my point? It just shows you who owns the land. So just hear things like, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That empowerment. You see, let me say how faith works. Faith is very separate from your feeling. It's different. Faith births confidence, but faith is not confidence. Let me try and explain it. This is how I like to explain faith. You're cooking. It doesn't cross your mind that that fire will melt that pot. You put water in the pot and you confidently put it on fire. Do you get my point? Why do you do that? In summary, you know. But you didn't think about it. It doesn't cross your mind that if you put maybe you want to boil rice inside that pot, it's hot, that it will not cook. You cover it, you go and rest, say, in 30 minutes, it will be ready. You know that you, actually that's what they call faith. That confidence with which you do those, even though you are not feeling confident. I don't know what I get my point. If somebody say, I'm confident that rice is going to finish cooking, you begin to wonder, why all this conversation? The discussion of your confidence does not come up until they say, somebody raises a question about the situation. Otherwise, normally you just carry a pot, put it on the fire, and you don't think anything will go wrong with the pot. You put water in it, you pour your rice in it, you cover it, and you just go and sit down and continue what you are doing so that you don't get decided. You set your alarm for 30 minutes. At the end of 30 minutes, are you getting my point? Now, how did that come to be? It's actually a product of what you know. It didn't cross your mind to put that same rice and that water in a plastic bowl and put on that same fire. Would that ever cross your mind? No. Why not? It's just something you know. It's just something you know. You acquire that knowledge over time. Just almost, let me use the word, spontaneously. That is how real faith is. It's what you know about God that just forms how you behave, how you react. And when somebody raises a question about your behavior, that is when the issue of I am sure comes up. Before that time, you don't think about it. So let me give you an example now. You say, believe God for land. Hey, come on, yalla. We believe God. Lord will supply land. The land, you know, you'll be praying. You know, the prayer is not really born of faith. There's really no solid confidence of knowledge in your heart. You still think God will snatch it from somebody. God has the ability. But there's a way in which, you say, oh, we need like 5,000 square meters of land. There's one realization inside you. The earth is the Lord's. So you just go and meet Lord. We need 5,000 square meters. You get what I'm saying? Will he give you? No, it's not discussed. It's not how you say, hey God, my God is able. My God, you know, all this grr. It's you trying to hype yourself. And that's why when God wants to solve problems for you, he gives you what? A revelation of himself. It births faith. See, faith is so powerful. I said it last time. That, you know, Jesus said that. Now, this is how I read it. He said, whatever you ask, what did he say? Believe you have received and you shall have. Now, for certain reasons, I can't go into it now. This is what I understand he said. If you ask, if you can believe. He didn't give faith as a commandment. He gave it as what? A condition. If you can believe, was what he actually said. I thought about it before. It's not now I'm going to start teaching about that. But I'm convinced that, because Greek can be a bit difficult sometimes to move into English. It can be difficult. And we see that scripture where he said it. He said, if you can do anything, help us. He said, if I can. No, it's if you can believe. So there is an inherent ability that we are supposed to have concerning believing. And Jesus gave it as a condition for answered prayers. He wasn't commanding, make sure you believe. Make sure you believe. No. He said, what are you asking for? He said, if you can believe, have you gotten to a point in which you can believe? They came to him. Have mercy on us. What did he say? Do you believe I'm able to do this? I hope I get my point. Or it could be that they said, Master, let's not lie. We just said maybe you have money for us. Or when do you think we should come back for more prayer? Do you follow my point? He had to ask them, what are you really asking? Do you believe I'm able to do this? And they say, yes. We believe now. I'm going to add words. Because the other day, Bartimaeus came. We saw that he was seeing. And we asked him what happened. He said, you touched him. And he began to see. There was this particular man in our neighborhood also. He was not seeing. There was one that was deaf. We heard his stories. We heard all of these things. So it breaks confidence in us that you are able to do this. It's okay. Let it be to you according to your faith. Faith was presented as what? A condition, not as a commandment. Do you get what I want to say? So faith is birthed naturally when you see the face of God. It's birthed naturally when you see God as he is. Faith is birthed naturally once you get to understand. It's not a matter of struggle. It is a natural outflowing of real knowledge, of real knowing. Better to say, of vision. You literally saw God do something. You get so convinced that with God all things are possible. I saw him give eyes where there were no eyes. Do you follow my point? So after that, that's why a lot of people have been seriously sick that God healed. Running a healing ministry is easier for them because that experience they had, Jesus the healer is not theory. Do you get my point?
Yes.
It's not theory. It's not theory. It's so real that if he doesn't heal, they have to ask why. Is it that we annoyed him? Or his healing, we are not accepting it? The debate is on what is the problem. Not, is it his will? Can he do it? Is it this too difficult for him? What are you talking about? Do you get my point?
Yes.
That's what we said last time. Therefore, what we need is work hard to get to know God in every area. Let me give you an example. One I have got, this will be a funny example. Right now, in this my life, there's no story. I've read a lot. In fact, I wasn't reading much in recent times, but I started reading again, okay? I've read all kinds of things. I know the principles of doing business. Even though I'm not a business person, I know a lot. I've seen business. I know. If you want, I can give you lectures. I'll teach you so many things. If you go against what I said, well, theoretically, you should fail. If you do what I said, theoretically, you should succeed. But you know, I found out from experience, from knowledge, from revelation, from vision, success is a gift of God. See, all those that I said I know, it's just, you know, we have to keep busy with pretending like we know something. That's all. All this I was saying, if you do like this, as 10 keys, you know, like 5 principles of money that you must master. M means movement. What did I say? N moves movement. So it must move. What is moving in your life? Is it your goods? Is it your services? Brethren, like I say all the time, just learn what is right to do. When we are doing keys to Christian business success, we mean what are the right things Christians should do? It doesn't guarantee success. If I do business with you, what story will I tell when I get home? That's all that matters. Will I say, if you meet that thing, okay, guy. Not leave your money, you know, go see and complete after. It's not good. But if I say, no, if you did business with the thing, okay, don't worry. You can give him any money. If anyone that is not part of the money, he will return it. Don't worry. God's aim for that. That's all we teach. But as per, if you do like you do like this, no. Listen to me. Very, 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 I say unto thee, none works. What did I say?
None works.
You want to succeed in business? You know what I found out? You kneel down. And say, Lord, Abba, you get plenty now. That's your boy something. That's all you need to say. As you are living, something you might say, like what? You know, our sales last month was 1 million. Help us expand. We should be doing like 50 million before the end of the year. says done. Go and check yourself at the end of the year. You will, people will advertise. They won't sell anything. You will not advertise. You will see, I saw my wife do this again and again. You know, she used to sell things. Doesn't do much of that anymore. My garage yearly converted to a store. Just lock the garage, put shelves everywhere. My wife just looks, these goods. I saw it happen. She just go, put hands on them, one after the other. The name of Jesus Christ, I command you to move. You will sell. And you will just go round and round. Pray. Stay inside that place. I know they enter. You know, like, don't spoil it. I don't have that faith. I don't know whether you're getting my point. She goes by herself. She later just showing me cash. You'll be laughing. I remember one day she said that. They said January is dry. Said not here. She sold until she was tired. So I told these things to move. And they were just... That is... A phone call. Hello, man. Somebody give me your number. Please, want to do me and my friends. We're wedding. We hear you sell soup. Strangers have driven to my house. And they are living. They are living with 5 complete suits for men. My wife just come and show me cash. And she will laugh. I saw it happen not once, not twice. Again and again. Again and again. Again and again. I saw it happen. So I have a conviction now personally. Not only from that, I have seen all kinds of things. People will do, look, listen, go and read Ecclesiastes chapter 7 again. It said there's a woman whose heart is a snare, whose hands are chains and all of that. Okay, get it the way it's there clearly. It said the one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, and what? The sinner will be enticed. I read that and I said that thing was not talking about literal woman. We studied that time. I found I wasn't talking about woman. He only used woman as an allegory. Just try to explain a point. He was talking about life. That you think you have a good knowledge of how life is supposed to run. He said, but what? Guys have gotten frustrated. I said to my wife the other day, in a lot of churches abroad, that's how they get money. That's how they get buildings. They wait for malls to fail. Somebody will build a mall for $20 million. It will fail. That's part of the, you know, packing up process. They sell that whole mall for $5 million. And who wants it? Nobody else wants to think about it. If the guys there couldn't sell things, who else will now come there to sell what? So that is church that will go and say, no, we know they sell anything. We just want the space. They will buy it. And instead of spending $20 million, they just spend $5 million. They own their own massive facility. Now, it's not the church I want to talk about. It's those people. You think they didn't do feasibility studies? They did. They did everything. By the time you invest that kind of money, they thought it will work. Then one funny thing will just happen. One government will just come and say, this road that passes through here, we are they are not thinking about the mall. They just redirect the road. The road goes in another direction. Traffic disappears from that place. It's like a trap. Men are ensnared in it. But what's the next thing he said? He said, the one who's pleasing to God will what? Be delivered. But the sinner will be enticed, will be trapped. What does that tell you? It's whether I please God or I don't please God that decides whether I will succeed or not, not how wise I am. Personally, I understand that fully, without any doubt in my mind. Occasionally, when ideas enter my head, do this and do this, I fight it off. See, let me just warn all of you. Those of you who want to go and be doing speculation to do land business, value will go up, you will now resell. You are working by worry. Speculation is not business. Someone there to hear that. If you are in real estate business, you are in real estate business. I hope you're getting my point. If you just let me go and buy land so that the price will go up tomorrow, you will so fail. Eh? See, you will be wondering that, where did this money go? That is, now you're not owing anybody. You don't have land though. You have one small one. You will buy 20 plus of land. At the end of that, you'll be owing, and the land won't sell. Let me not mention it. One brother was telling me that somebody said, keep your money in dollar so that the value won't go down. I said, apparently the person has not been following the news. Because the money, the 20 million you kept in dollar 6 months ago, right now is not worth more than 16 million naira. Yes. Oh, once you don't hear news, things are moving in the other direction.
Little by little, the currency just chopping back. Yeah, little by little, little by little. So those who hid their money in dollar, hoping now they are panicking. And once they start panicking, it will drop some more. Please, I hope you are getting my point.
Yes, sir.
What we need is to know who owns the power. Now, that's the point I made. We learned that last time. So that when we see the face of God clearly, that is where our power lies. This, the life of the believer is learn how to ask. What did I say?
Learn how to ask.
Learn how to ask. But faith is built to be able to ask and receive when you know exactly what control God has over it. But why don't we know? That's the message I was supposed to preach today, but it didn't work out the way. But I'm not coming back to it, all right? What I wanted to teach is, why is it that we don't see the face of God the way we should? I have just one main answer, which is what? We don't seek with our whole heart. That's it. What am I preaching to us this year? This year started, we began it. Brethren, let us seek the Lord with a whole heart. Other things take our attention. That's the problem. Sometimes we want, you know, please, can I beg you? Christianity is a dangerous game. It's not a game. All right? It's a dangerous life. Let's be like that. When I say dangerous, jump into it. It's like that. It's dangerous. It doesn't make sense. There's no way. Listen to what I want to say. There's no way of balancing Christianity for you to be sensible. We have tried that and it's not good. The world loves Christians that are not fully committed. Yeah. In the world, you will be loved if you are not fully committed. If you see any sign of half commitment to anything, the world loves you. You hear statement, very annoying statement. You know, I like Pastor Banky. Do you know why? He works in the university and he's still preaching. Why can't you do the same? That is a useless statement. You don't know why I do what I do. You know what they like about it? At least there's some security on the side. And if you follow it, I have misled you. I'm sorry. But it's not me. It's you that chose that one. The other things will have followed in my life. The world loves it too. Once you look like you have sense, and your Christianity is not full, you're not aggressively committed to anything, they like it. They like it. Because you are believing God doesn't mean you shouldn't save. They like it. You say you have faith. Do you know what Oyedepo has? They like it. You don't know how he was before God blessed him. They won't remember that part. They won't remember that he took a piece of paper and told the girl he wanted to marry to sign. That whatever God demands, we give. They won't remember that he went full blast into ministry. When ministry started, he was collecting some salary from the ministry. Then one day he came. His wife said, where the money now? End of month, don't come now. Won't they give you money? He said, sorry, I didn't tell you. As a last month, I dropped it on the altar. They won't remember that. What they now remember is that, can't you see? Can't you see? He's cleaning out. Look at that big university, you know? Anyway, let me not sit on that. What I'm saying is that people like it when you are half-baked as a believer. I'm not saying don't take medicine. Please, I'm not saying so. My son was ill the other day. I bought him anti-malaria. So I'm not saying this. You know, I like to tell you the truth. I won't come up deceiving you. Are you getting my point? But if I see a Christian that says he's not taking medicine, he's a better Christian. Look that in. I won't look down on him. Why should I? It just means he has faith that I don't have, that I used to have, actually. We passed through this phase in school. When we heard of faith, malaria hit, you say, malaria, I will win this one. Your head will bang, you bang it back against the wall. I still remember that, you know, evenings, when the fever wants to start, Guy, young guys on campus, you go out and you go and start moving. Kalabo Shaba, Sebala, So, Fringa Bosa, Tori Geshta, Vizima, Kalabo Skipa, by the stripe of Jesus, I'm healed. After 3 days, FIFA decided that this guy is not serious. He'll leave you alone. Think we didn't pass through that? It's not the curse of the world. This is not of riches. Now you can easily afford auntie Maria. Say, why go through all of this? What are we talking about? The world likes Christians that are not fully committed to anything. Somebody said, I give all the salary. I said, look, it's not worth it. You have to be wise. You keep some aside for transport. This is, are they fair to give advice? No, as long as it is faith you are walking by. If you have too much sense, that's what I'm afraid for you. Say, you can plan. These are the strategies for growth. I say, these are your strategies for growth. I'm just looking at you, I'm feeling sorry. That I'll pray one prayer under my breath for you. Father God, may it jam before the end of the year. May by middle of next year, may he be frustrated. So I can have conversation with him again. But when you're having your two strategies, I can't talk. You know you've thought about it now. You don't plan them. So Pastor, what I'm just thinking is, we'll do this, we'll do this. Okay. Strategies for growth. Continue. Those who really grow as believers, they will testify that by the grace of God, I am what I am. They will not be able to tell you what to repeat. That do it the way I did it. See, because all these plans I had, oh boy, it failed. Do you know even people in the world, you know they found out? I said Steve Jobs said there's no way of predicting them. So you can't plot the dots going forward. So it's only looking backwards. I read How to Be Rich by J.P. Gates. He talked about when all the other oil companies and oil barons decided to choke him. And they choked him. You know what they call choke? They said, Getty will drown in his own oil. He was producing, nobody was buying. It was deliberate. He was producing, nobody was buying. All his reservoirs were full. He looked, he realized he was going to drown business-wise in his own oil. He said, I'm telling this story so that you know that not every human being is wicked. Said the head of Royal Dutch Shell now came to America. Then he ran to go and meet that one. Booked an appointment. Sir, this is the problem I'm having. These men have decided they will choke the life out of me. That one came from outside America. So that one looked at it and said, this is not good. He sent an order to his people, buy Getty's oil. He said that was what saved him. One single man. If he had not met that man, he was going to drown in his own oil. That day he looked and said, this man, that singular action by one man saved him. Let me put it in Christian words. By the grace of God, I am alive and successful today. Not because I know how to do it. Not having a long-term plan is better than having one. Chair, I've told you many times. Some of you will not agree. Go and plan long term. It will not take 3 years before you realize that long term plan doesn't have a meaning. You lift it up in 3 years' time. Like, what is this? This is long term foolishness. Should you plan? Yes. Plan only for the matter of sufficient unto the day. You don't know where God will take you to. The world likes Christians that are not committed to anything. When they give you counsel, you are younger, you want to marry, they will say that, eh. So what does he have? Anybody ask you that, he's speaking for Satan. Seriously. What they should want to know is, what does he believe? What is his purpose? What gift is he operating by? That's what we need to know. What does he have? Who are his parents? He's an orphan. Leave it like that. It's good to be an orphan because God said, when you're an orphan, I will be your father. Say he has a disadvantage. What's his advantage? He has a father that's very rich. It's a disadvantage. It's not a blessing. There's a depth of God you cannot take. You will not see. You will not lay hold of. If you have plenty of weight beside you, behind you, supporting you. Young girl, don't be afraid to marry a man and not have it. Just make sure you see, don't marry a stupid man, please. Can I just beg you? No, I need to stay there for 1 minute. Very, very important.
what I call a stupid man. In the morning, he's just there. He's watching Manchester United. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. If they are playing El Clasico, 10 o'clock, and he watches it, refuse. Say, I'm not marrying you. I heard that you went to watch it at 10 a.m. Football should not be that important to anybody in this life. You're not a player. You're a spectator. That's what I mean. But if you come at 9 o'clock, he has gone to his farm. It's the will of God. If you come at 10, he's not around. Where? He drove his bus all the way to Calabar. It's good. He drove. And he's good. Is he the company driver? It doesn't matter. And if he's the company driver, all better. He doesn't have time for trouble. He doesn't have time to cause trouble. He's there working. He's earning. It doesn't have to be plenty. And I keep on saying, and he goes to church. If a man doesn't love God, he doesn't go for church services, he's not letting the word of God, don't marry him. Please, even if he comes to visit you with two different cars, two different days of the week. You know, BMW on Mondays, when he comes on weekends, you know, it's Lexus. How's your pastor? All these pastors are fake. That guy is fake. I hope you hear what I said. Any man that opens his mouth and says all the powers are fake and you marry him, you are going to hell with him. All the beer palaces are not fake. Bet Niger is not fake. One expert is not fake. They're only going to send you and your money to hellfire. They are not fake. His powers are fake. That's how you know fake people. I love God in my heart. Run. Oh, girl, you hear what I said? You are watching me or you are listening to me now. Run, no. Say, so, you know, faith. Is a, and if he believes that God does not punish sin, run. Not them. I know what I'm telling you. Don't follow stupid people. But if he says he's walking by faith, like I said, faith and faithfulness, they mean the same thing. If his faith is shown in his faithfulness, he handles his money, the little he has, handles it well. He's diligent. Any work you give him, he does it. I don't care how poor he is today. I give you the word of the Lord. He'll be rich someday. He'll be able to take care of you and take care of your children. God will bless your household. If his faith is genuine, that's what I'm talking about. Genuine faith works. Genuine faith works. The world likes us when we are not committed to it. What I preach this year is for us to be fully committed to faith. If somebody says that I don't take medicine, there's nothing wrong with it. Just check and be sure that it is faith. You know, some people don't take medicine because they like agbo. See, it's true now. I finished my message. Just gisting with you. No, really, I finished my message. If somebody says I don't take medicine, but he takes agbo, he's deceiving himself. It's a confused person. It's the same thing. No, agbo is worse. I forgot that part. It's actually worse. If you can drink agbo, na beg, go to the one that a real pharmacist prepared and a real doctor prescribed. Two of them combined, you shall be safe. He said, I don't believe in all this medical. You now go to where they use blade to set broken bone. And rub a row of leaf inside to set bone. They will amputate that leg. See, usually when things scatter, they are still bringing it to us. I know. Some of these people that they say, take this one, they know what they have bought, they have crushed it. You don't know that? Let me tell you, some of the people that say that they take care of crazy people, traditional way, we know. They go and buy the medicine that doctors use, crush it, put it into their leaves, mix it, and you give the person, and the person will calm down. Say, it works, it doesn't work! I've told you, Alaika, that filler, let them see that filler. If they are wearing this kind of cap, all of you look at it. Run, no. They are wearing the cap to deceive you, to give the impression that this one is from Yoruba land. Like one woman here that markets her home and say, The Igbo woman married to a Yoruba man. This was given to me by my father-in-law. Naska. I know what I'm saying. Because people come and say, I don't take medicine. They take. They just don't want to pay for the real one that the pharmacists have prepared properly for us. To be a pharmacist is hard work. To prepare drugs is very difficult. So for that reason, it's expensive. If you don't have money, say, brethren, nah. That money be the problem. Ooh, got that money. Said, and I'm walking by faith. Then we see you behind. You are ordering aloe vera. You are ginseng, everything. That is not faith. Your problem is you don't have money. Pray to God for money. He will buy the real medicine. But what I'm talking about, if you see somebody walking by real faith, tell them that he's not taking medicine. Me, I don't begrudge the person. What I'll just do, I will pray with you. Like my brother, Pastor Craig, will say, how are you believing God? When I find that you are really believing God, this is what I prescribe for people these days if you are believing God. After you have prayed and made requests of the Lord, do you get my point? Take his word and eat it as medicine. I hope I get my point. Take a number of scriptures, eat it as medicine. If you are pregnant, put your hand on your stomach and talk to your baby. Take scriptures and read. Find all scripture that has to do with children and read for the child. Anyone that has to do with blessing of pregnant people, read it to yourself. That's how they believe God. This is not believing God. Nothing will happen, Joe. Don't worry. Nothing will happen. Hey. That is fatalism. Something will happen. You're trying to echo. Something bad will happen. I don't want to hear nothing will happen, Joe. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Worry. Something bad will happen. When we say nothing will happen, because it is written, because the Lord said, I hope you're getting my point. Have a scripture. That's how to believe God. Thus says the Lord should not depart from your mouth. That is how to believe God. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes I have been healed. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is walking in me. Is giving life to my mortal body. The Lord is my healer. Is my God. The Lord God. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's abundant in loving kindness towards me. Please put those words on your mouth. That is when I know you are believing God. Lack of swallowing of tablets is not the same thing as faith. Faith is swallowing of another kind of tablet. Which is what? The word of God. What am I saying? If you see a Christian committed to the word, he is doing right. If he doesn't have plans, it doesn't matter. One of the men I love most in ministry, when I watched part of his ministry, is Derek Prince. He said, at the age of 40, I had no money, no bank account, no house, and most importantly, no plans. At the age of 40. And he had about seven girls he was responsible for. Because he married a woman who had adopted seven girls. Together they adopted the eighth one. When he went to Kenya, when he was telling the story, he was a household name worldwide. His messages had been translated into at least 20 languages. He said, but at the age of 40, he had no money, no bank account, no house of his own, and most importantly, he said, he had no plans. But the word of the Lord had come to him before, setting him on a particular direction. I won't talk about it now. What am I saying? Let's be fully committed to God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what?
All
your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The word in the scripture for might is the same word for wealth. All your material resources, all your heart, all your soul. What I mean by all your heart? Anytime you are thinking about the Lord, how to advance in walking with him. Bow your head. Say, Lord, thank you. Just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, thank you.